At what point did you have an understanding that your skin color could be a problem for other people?
In terms of like racism in Bloomington Normal, I've always felt it in a very subtle way. And you always have to question it. Like, did they really say that? That was strange. You know, I can recall a moment when me and Chris were walking to Windy City Wieners, downtown Normal, uptown Normal, however you know it as. And we were coming around the corner right by Maggie's. People were outside. This was maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. Me and him talking with one another. And there was a white gentleman outside, and he was slightly intoxicated, but made a comment in the light of like, oh, here come the two black guys, watch out. Now, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but essentially that was the comment. And, you know, if you were to speak to Chris, he could probably give it to you in a little bit more detail, because I was kind of like out of earshot of it. But he heard it and he stopped and he addressed him and, you know, let him know like, hey, look, whatever you think this is, it's not. We aren't thugs, heathens, however you're seeing this situation. It's not that. And let me just remind you of the fact that it's not that. He was shook because he had to check his privilege. His privilege got checked and the people he was with had to get him and back him off because it was like, why even make that comment? What was your reasoning? What was your point? Sure, you're inebriated, but what was the point? You could have just kept talking to your friends and let it be. But what was the point? You felt threatened. You felt, you know what I mean? So it's like, why? Why?
You grew up in Bloomington Normal.
Yes.
And that's a different experience than growing up in maybe like Chicago or larger cities. What was it like growing up black in Bloomington Normal, a predominantly white town?
To be honest, like I always describe, it's kind of like a bubble. It's like a Whoville. It's Pleasantville. Like, things are just kind of easy. You go, you know, everything's 15 minutes away. Not too much going on in terms of, you know, crime or, you know, things like that. To be honest, my childhood was great. You know, like I said, I went to Metcalf. I had a variety of friends who were all different colors. You know, I learned all types of things in school, you know, especially going to Metcalf. It just seemed like I was being exposed to more than just like, okay, I'm learning my ABCs. I'm learning, you know, you're learning about like, you're Indian, I'm black, or you're white and he's Chinese. Like, okay, let's talk about our differences. You know, what does your family bring in? What do you bring to the table? So it was a little bit more open. But then you did have those situations where, you know, now we're getting older, people are starting to listen to music. And it's like, okay, well, you're listening to rap music. And of course, they use the N-word. Now you're getting friends who are, well, they say it in the song. So why is it a big deal that I, well, because like, that's not a word you use. I understand. But like, just because you see a movie and people kill doesn't mean you go kill. So it's kind of a similar way. It's like, okay, this word, you know, especially that word, it's like, you know, we've taken that back as a culture. So yeah, of course we're going to use it in some way. So I was getting a lot of that, you know, of people being testy and wanting to say it. And you get the, it's like, no, we're not going down that road. So again, checking people's privilege. High school was good. I didn't have too many issues in high school. Again, like, again, subtle backhanded comments, what have you. But again, it was like my mom and, you know, cousins, uncles, aunts who were kind of informing me like, again, these things are going to happen and be aware of them. So then you get to college, kind of similar stuff. In terms of like encountering police, my encounters with law enforcement, sure, I've been profiled, you know, I've been followed, I've been looked at. But in terms of like, you know, getting chokeholds and things like that, that was never necessarily the case. But you still feel, again, that subtle, you don't like me. I know you don't, you know, I can feel it. It's the way you're talking to me. You just feel it. It's always just a feeling that you get. It's uncomfortable. But I think as black people in America, you like, or anywhere who experience racism, to be honest, you just learn how to stomach it, you know.
I want to explore that.
Yeah.
You say you just have to stomach it. What does that do to a person?
You go through a lot of mental gymnastics of like trying to figure things out, how to react to things. Do you snap or do you just let things go? Do you educate people, you know, about these things, or, you know, right then and there, or do you pull them off to the side? Like, you're having to try to navigate all of that in like a split second, and it's hard, because then when you snap and you're aggressive about it, it's, oh, they're acting just like I would think a black person would act. But then if you don't do that, you're being weak, and you're not, you know, standing up for your culture and for your people. So it's just like this weird catch 22. Do I just eat that, and if it comes up again, I address it, or do I just keep addressing it every time it happens? And even when you do, it still keeps happening.
You answered that in a way I didn't anticipate. It was an intellectual decision that you have to make. And I was thinking more of, what is it to do physically, emotionally, and how that wears on you? As you say, you have to stomach it. That has to have internal ramifications.
So I just told my mom the other day, like, scrolling through Twitter and being on Facebook and watching these public lynchings of black men by police had literally gotten me to the point where I was like crying on the brink of tears. You are paralyzed. You don't want to move. You don't want to go to work. You don't want to do anything some days, because you're just like, wow, the law doesn't care for me, and it's specifically designed for me to not succeed. The nation doesn't care about me, again, because it's designed to not. It's designed to keep me down. The world doesn't care about me. People in Germany are protesting about this. People in the UK, not just America. People are in Mexico doing this. Oh, so this is worldwide. Oh, so the world just doesn't care about me at all. So what's the point? You get to that. I'm sure you could speak to about 95% of black people, and they would say, yeah, I've thought about suicide. I've thought about just calling it quits. But then the flip side of that coin is like, that's what the system wants. And yeah, you think about that, and it is that deep, and it does feel that bad. Again, you have to muster up some kind of strength to be like, my ancestors didn't die for me to just kill myself or just end it all here. You just got to play the game, and you just stomach it, and you keep moving, and you keep going, wow, I'm still here.
Well, as you know, the other day I had a conversation with your uncle Chris, and like you, he wears glasses, and he said he has sort of learned that he needs to make white people comfortable around him, and one of the ways he has done that is he wears glasses intentionally. He says that softens my look.
While I understand his point, I'm kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum. Like, why do I have to cave in so much to make you feel comfortable about us being in the same space? You do something. Or let's neither one of us do anything and just talk.
Just be who we are.
And just be who we are. Why do I have to soften the blow? So that's kind of stuff like even my mom would speak on it. Like, that's what I mean about the games and the politics of just having the mental gymnastics of having to go through all of that in a span of 5 minutes, or when you're getting ready for work and being like, man, because a white man wants to feel comfortable about us being in a space together, or because a white female is feeling threatened about the fact that I'm just existing. Why do I have to cave to make you feel comfortable? That sounds absurd to me.
You were talking earlier about the conversations that you and your parents would have with you. Do you mind getting more specific about what they would tell you?
Right now, one of the biggest things that me and my mother talk about is like life being a game. And essentially, sometimes you just have to play the game in order to try to win, or just try to, you know, be able to move forward. You learn that quick. I think that's a big one. That's a big conversation I think that happens, is like, look, there's going to be stuff that you're not going to want to do, but you just got to do it. Like I was mentioning code switching. Like, if people don't know what that is, it's basically like me talking to you right now would be me code switching, because I'm not using Ebonics or any type of language that somebody else would not understand. This is something I have to do. It's like how Dave Chappelle said it, like, black people speak two languages. It's like they speak Ebonics, a job interview. And a lot of times when I'm speaking with white people, that's what I have to do. And that's something that me and my parents have addressed on multiple occasions.
So you're talking to me a specific way because of who I am.
Correct.
You are doing that.
Yes. because I know the demographic of people who might hear this.
So it's not really for me per se, it's the audience who might hear it,
or for the most both. Kind of both. Huh, it's like a mix of things. It's for myself to know that, you know, I'm coming off how I want to hear, you know. It's for the demographic to not feel like he's speaking in a way that is a little brash to me, you know, a little rash to me, and I don't like that, so I don't want to hear it, type of thing. It's unfortunate to kind of have that train of thought, but that's a real thing that a lot of Black people go through. And so you have to just be very cognizant of that and know that people are going to look at you a certain way just based off the way you speak.
Have the events of the past few weeks changed that at all? Do you feel a change in that you maybe can be more of who you are?
To be completely honest with you, I don't know if in my lifetime I'm going to see the change that I would like to see. Just in terms of, like, it's hard for me to understand, like, how white people just don't get it. Like, you have a group of white people who are just like, I just don't understand that this has been happening. Like, you don't have to care about this. You don't have to pay attention to this. And all of a sudden it's coming to you and you're like, oh, man, I didn't know. And it's like, how though? Even when you were in school, like, didn't you learn about civil rights? And didn't you learn about, like, people having different perspectives? And aren't you watching the news? I don't care what station you're watching. You got to be watching something. You got to be listening to something that's telling you, like, or reading a book or scrolling on your phone to be like, wow, there's a group of people that aren't being treated well in America. And that's unfortunate. And I have so much hope that I would get to not always feel awkward about being out in public or, you know, doing stuff. Or it does make me a little bit more comfortable in being in my own skins, knowing that there is a battle being fought and it's not quiet anymore. Not that it always has been, but sometimes it feels like it's almost like you'll get a spike of, all right, cops are killing a bunch of Black people, and everyone's like, oh wow, that's not good. And then everyone forgets. Like, this has been happening, I'm sure, since you were a younger fellow. So it's like, my mom tells me about situations of her being, you know, having to step off the sidewalk in Mississippi when she was younger, just so white people can pass. That's my mom. That's not a grandparent. That's mom. That's my aunt. That's talking about stuff like that. And sure, there's been a lot of progress. There's always progress. You do see it, but it's just so slow. And I'm scared that people are just going to, like, let this dwindle away. That's my biggest fear. Like, I want white people to feel what this feels like, to just always be on constant, like, I might die tomorrow just because someone pulled me over. Or I walked into a Walmart and somebody just started shooting because they saw someone Black come around the corner with a BB gun. Or I wasn't even doing anything and they shot me. You know, you think about that. It's just the simple fact that it could happen. And all is just based off your skin is brown. I feel threatened.
We seem to be trying to have this conversation on race that everyone has been saying for a number of years, that we need to have a national conversation on race. Chadman, you're in charge of framing how we're going to have this conversation. How would you frame it?
We need all the heads of the systems that are broken to really be the ones to acknowledge the fact that these things are happening, and listening to the people and making them realize, like, this has a way stronger effect. There's a lot of people living with trauma because of a lot of this. So, like, we need to fix that. White people got to own up to the idea that, like, things have happened. And I'm not blaming you specifically. Might not even be blaming your ancestors. But again, it's like there was a system set in place, and we need to address that system heavily and all the time. I think that system needs to always be constantly being reevaluated to make sure things are done right and people are treated fairly.